Hi, this is Linda Rax with Our Life in the Trinity. It's good to be with you again this week. Today we're going to celebrate Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And what a great celebration this is. This gift of God's life in us and with us because of what Christ has done. This is good news. Let's begin with a word of prayer. We're going to talk about the Spirit today. We'll read our passage for the day, and we'll have communion together and end in a benediction. So let's pray. Father, thank you that we can be here today to talk about your Spirit. And Jesus, for all you have done so the Spirit could come and live with us and in us. And just thank you that your life is so present now that we're not orphans, but we have your very life in us and with us now and forever because of the Spirit. And so we ask today that we might see in a way we've never seen before and hear in a way we never heard before. Heavenly Spirit, we would pray that you might make yourself manifest this day in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I went through a store the other day, a bookstore, a local bookstore, and I was astonished by the entire section they had on a literature related to spirituality. And this isn't about spirituality in the sense of the Christian faith, but it's any form of spirituality. And there were things there about, you know, there was Gothic literature, there was New Age literature, there was things on white witchcraft, black witchcraft, you name it was there. And it really, what it said to me was that as a culture and as a people, we're hungry for spiritual things. We long for something beyond this physical, tangible human existence, this our rationality about everything. We figure things out. We learn about stuff. Our science is so important to us. Our technology is important to us. But I think there's this inner longing for something more. And I believe that's because we were created for so much more than this. We were not meant to live apart from the spiritualities. In fact, we were created for them. And so we do have a longing for those things. And we live in a world that's full of chaos, full of suffering, full of difficulties, and joys and wonderful things. But sometimes I think we miss the reality that our freedom, we have incredible freedom, was never meant to be lived apart from other-centered love, apart from laying our lives down in service to others, in humility, in other-centeredness. Because being made as human beings in the image of the God who is other-centered, who is serving, who is loving in that sense of pouring out into others, receiving, giving, receiving this love that God always lives in His Father, Son, and Spirit. He has incredible freedom, God does, but He has always bounded His freedom by love, other-centered love. And that is how we were created to live. And we're created for so much more than just this physical existence. We were created for life in relationship with Father, Son, Spirit, and with one another. So, since we seek so much more than this, many times we turn to religion, but we turn to faith. But too often, our faith is even self-serving. We can even get into the place where we want to feel the feeling of the Spirit coming And it's wonderful when the Spirit comes. We can have ecstatic worship and praise and talk in tongues and just have these great experiences of God's presence and power. And it's wonderful, but do we do it just for ourselves because we like the way it feels? Because we like the things that God does for us? Yeah, we want God to intervene and change our lives, you know. But as long as he's doing our will, what we want done, right? What if God asks us to do something we don't want to do? What if the Spirit has something else in mind? I think one of the things that struck me hard one time was realizing that the scripture says that the Spirit threw Jesus out into the wilderness of testing. What in the world? Why would the Spirit do that? But his heart was, the Father's heart is love. The Spirit does not seek to harm. So there was something loving in what the Spirit was calling and moving Jesus to do. And it was going into the wilderness, a tough time. And Jesus did that for us. It was not for himself. He was doing it for us. And so we find that sometimes the Spirit calls us to things we don't want to be called for. He moves us in ways we really don't want to go. That's where it comes in, that we realize that the Spirit is the Lord, the Spirit, the Lord. He is God. He is a person. And he makes decisions. He makes choices. And he loves, just like Father and Son loves. He cares. He's working for our good. And what if the Spirit is calling us to repentance, to obedience, not just trying to do good things for us or helping us be, you know, gifted people. Yay, you know, it's good to be gifted, but in service to others, right? So this is where the Apostle Paul addresses the people of the Church of Corinth, and they had gotten kind of in this place of self-exaltation regarding the Spirit and the Spirit's gifts, thinking that having certain things made them better than others. And it was culturally driven, you know, to some extent. And at some point, some of the cultures of that day believed that they could cast curses on one another. And somehow that crept in, even in the Spirit, you know, when they were given the Spirit, that's what it was for, you know, that they could, you know, put others down using, well, the Spirit. So it's like a not understanding who the Spirit is and why he's there. And so Paul is trying to address all these things. And he says, you can't, you know, the Holy Spirit's not going to curse people or curse Jesus. The Holy Spirit's going to say here, as he says in verse 3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit enables us to see Jesus for who he is, and he is Lord of all. So in verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. And you see a subtle reference to Father, Son, Spirit in this passage. Isn't that interesting? So we see varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Varieties of service, but the same Lord. Varieties of activities, the same God who empowers them in everyone. So we see gifts, service, activities. And in other translations, they might use different words, but it's about the same thing. In verse 7, and this, by the way, is the English Standard Version, so I used a different version today. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Why? For the common good. So we go back here to why God gives the Spirit. It's not just for us to be in right relationship with the Father, Son, and Spirit. That's important. but it's also for the common good. It's so that we can be a blessing to one another and be bound together in unity and service. So in verse 8, he says, "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy or preaching on spiritual matters," right? "To another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." So you see a lot of different ways in which the Spirit comes and expresses him, herself through us. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And so the Spirit has personhood. Personhood. The Spirit is not an it. The Spirit is a person. Now, I was learning the other day about the language we use with regards to the Spirit. Most of what we read in most translations says he. And but what I was learning is in the Hebrew language in the Old Testament, the language gender is she for ruach, which is very interesting because you think about the creation account and the language there is actually she. So if someone uses the word she with regards to the Spirit, it does not mean that she's a consort god. It does not mean that it's a she sexually. It is merely the use of our language and the genders that are there. In the English language, we just have he, she, it, but we don't use them in the same way other languages use them. But anyway, that's off the topic. But if I say he, she, it's because it's just a way of understanding the Holy Spirit is a person and has personhood, decides who he, she is going to give gifts to. And this has to do with relationship. So keep that in mind. We got to learn that the Spirit is not just an entity or a power or a force, something that we can control. It's not it. The Spirit is he, she, person we have a relationship with. So in verse 12, it says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so it is with Christ." And so Paul begins to bring in the picture, the metaphor of the body of Christ, the church being made up of members, just like our bodies are made up of different parts. And they're a one body, but they have different parts that have different functions, have different purposes, have different abilities. My finger cannot do what my ear does. My nose cannot do what my leg does. It's just each part of the body has its role to play. And so this is true also for the body of Christ. And in the past, I remember feeling like I have to be able to do everything and do everything well. And that actually is not true. I need only do those things God has created me and called me to do well. And I do those not because I do it, but because Christ does them in and through me by the Spirit. And so to begin to think about this, that we each have that place we have been put in the body to fill. And that is all we need to do is just be who we are in Christ by the Spirit. So, verse 13, "For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." So, even though we're each unique, uniquely ourselves, even though we're not all culturally the same or physically designed the same. We're all made to drink of that one spirit and to participate in Christ and to be a part of his body, the church. So, going back to the beginning then, as Paul was talking about this, he was trying to tell the church, you know, the reason we're given spiritual gifts is not to impress anybody. It doesn't make us superior to anyone or inferior if we don't have the gifts that others seem to think we should have. We're not meant to try and have superiority or inferiority due to our spiritual gifts. That's not the point of having them at all. They're meant for the common good. We're not meant to use those gifts to harm others or hurt others. They are meant to serve one another, to build up the body of Christ, and to help others in the world with what they have need of, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Spiritual gifts are given for the common good, to serve, to help, to heal, to renew, to restore. And each one of us has a role to play that's of value, that's of worth. We may think, you know, I have this conversation sometimes with people who are older than me, okay, who are older, and they say, I don't have anything I can do, you know, I can't do anything anymore. And I'm thinking, no, wait a minute. In all your years, you have had conversation with God, and you have a relationship with God, and you, of all people, can pray, can talk to God about things, can share with God, can follow the lead of the Spirit in praying for others. There's always things you can do. I mean, even just the little deeds of kindness, of smiling at someone. As you follow the Spirit's lead, each of us has a role to play in what Jesus is doing in this world. We're each meant to be part of the union or the oneness, the whole of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is meant to be an expression of the kingdom of God in the middle of this world that is broken and struggling in desperate need of light. So we find what Paul is saying is the body of Christ is both immersed in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. See, when Peter stood up on the first day of Pentecost, there after Jesus' resurrection, and he began to speak, he quoted Joel 2, I believe. And he said that God poured out his Spirit on all flesh. Now, that seems kind of weird that here God pours it out on everyone so that every human being now can participate in what Jesus did for us. They can participate individually in what Jesus has done for all. And they can begin to participate in their own personal relationship with God in the Spirit. And as they come together, then the body of Christ is formed and it becomes a church. And the church is not meant to be an institution. It is meant to be a body of Christ where Christ can live and work through us to bring healing and wholeness and renewal to the world. As we're immersed in the Spirit, because the Spirit is everywhere, all around us, but then filled with Spirit as we receive the Spirit and allow the Spirit to live in us and through us, then we become a reflection of God's way of being. How does God live as Father, Son, and Spirit? He lives in other-centered, self-sacrificial, serving love. He is always thinking else out beyond himself. And so we see in God the Spirit's graces of love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, mercy, all of those spirit graces. And then we see Jesus' sacrificial love, his laying down of himself for our sake, of coming into our world, taking on our human flesh, living our life, dying and rising again. And he sends the Spirit because he wants us to participate in his own personal relationship with the Father and the Spirit. And so it's Christ's life, his sacrificial service, his manifestation of God's life and service to others that we begin to manifest by the Spirit. And then we're talking also about the Father's love and his actions at work in this world through the Spirit, through Jesus. God's kingdom and will being enacted here on earth as in heaven. And so this is all these things, the Spirit's graces, Jesus' self-sacrificial love and service, and the Father's creative, restorative actions of love in this world through Jesus and the Spirit. All of these things are meant to be expressed through, by the body of Christ, the church, for the common good. Paul's keeping us centered in the center, which is Christ. It's for the sake of others. And so it's important for us, both individually and as congregations, to learn how has God created us and gifted us as a congregation? Who has he brought together? And what are their gifts? Individually, what are my gifts? How is it God wants me to participate in what he's doing in this world? And we can participate by growing those gifts, learning more about those things we feel called to do, and checking with others in the body of Christ to see whether we're accurately seeing that our giftings are a certain way. Because sometimes we think we have a gifting and we certainly do not. We need somebody to reflect back to us, you know, what our true giftings are. So keep that in mind. But we want to see how God has made us and formed us individually in his congregations, and then grow in our own personal and congregational relationship with God in the Holy Spirit. And that means a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. Holy Spirit can be talked to, listened to, obeyed, honored, followed. And that's why Paul says so often, don't grieve the Spirit. Don't insult the Spirit. Don't neglect the Spirit. You know, fire up the Spirit. So he's talking about have this relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, and learn to listen. Listen for the still small voice. And learn to distinguish it from all the other voices in our head. The other voices in our life, because we sometimes listen, and I know I have struggled with this, paid more attention to what the voices of my past, the voices of other people's expectations. Sometimes we pay more attention to them than we do to the Holy Spirit. It's getting to know God and who he is and what he has to say to us. And learn to distinguish the difference. It's always in tune with his word, the Bible. It's always in tune with the body of Christ. It's not out on the limb somewhere in some weird place. I mean, that's how you end up with some of the things we've seen, such as this massacre in Africa that supposedly was Christian. That's not a work of the Spirit. That is work of the evil one. It's because we're listening to the wrong spirit. So how do we discern? That is, we keep in relationship with God. We keep in relationship with the body of Christ as a whole. We keep grounded in the scriptures. And so that helps us distinguish the still small voice and to pay attention. And we get in step. We want to be always in step with the Spirit. And walk in obedience to the Lord, the Spirit, We want the Spirit to guide and lead us. And it's such a joy when we get in this relationship with the Spirit, because at any moment in any situation, God is present to speak to us, to help us with the little everyday things of our life, things we might think are not worthy of God's attention. God cares about even the smallest things. I like to call God the finder of all lost things, because whenever I lose something, I say, Lord, where in the world did I put that? You know where it is. And inevitably, he helps me find it. So don't think that God doesn't care about the little. He does. He lives in you. He lives in me. He's there beneath all the darkness, all the mess. We need to listen. We need to be still long enough to realize that Christ is in us and with us by his Spirit, that the Father comes to dwell in those who follow Christ, and be in step with the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. Seek the Spirit's face. You know, we're created for so much more than just a fleshly human existence that's just going to pass away and be gone. We want to follow the Spirit's lead. We want to do things with God, not for God. We want to do things with God. We want to participate in what he's doing in this world. And we won't know what that is if we aren't listening, if we aren't paying attention, if we aren't growing in our relationship with God and following his lead. We want to allow Jesus to live in us, through us. And what does that say? That says, you know, this isn't magic. The Spirit is not a power we control. The Spirit is not some force that we use. The Spirit is a person we live in relationship with. We're not in control. God is in control. We're in relationship with God. We're in obedience to God. We're in service to his will. We live in love, in other-centered love with God and man. That's what we're created for. And we're given the gift of the Spirit so we can actually do that. And this gift of God himself living in us, with us, in the Spirit is just an incredible, wonderful gift. And I pray today that God would bless you with the knowledge and realization that God is in you by the Spirit. So we come to the table of communion, and we're reminded again of what Christ has done. It was his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension that made it possible for us to have the presence of God in us and with us by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, right. So let's affirm the essentials of our faith. We died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in his glory both now and forever. So let us pray for a moment. We'll take the elements together. Thank you so much, Jesus, for the gift of your Spirit. Heavenly Spirit, we pray today, if anyone has not opened the door to you, that, Lord, they would allow you to come and dwell forever, that they would not resist you. Heavenly Spirit, we ask you to move and make manifest the Lord Jesus Christ in this generation. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Enable us to participate in all you are doing faithfully and obediently. We receive this gift of your life in us through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Jesus offered the bread, said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. We receive, Jesus, the gift you have given of yourself. And Jesus offered a cup of wine and said, take, drink, all of this. You can use grape juice too. This is his life poured out for us. We thank you, Jesus, for pouring your life out for us. Now may the Spirit manifest in you and through you, in you and through you, every gift, every service, every activity for the common good. In the name of Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. I hope you have a great week. On a personal note, I would ask for you to pray for me. I've been having some health issues. Losing the vision in one of my eyes, and I have to have a angiogram next month for a blockage in my heart. So if you would keep me in prayer, I'd be so grateful. May God bless and keep you.